Shaare Tzion, 9 o'clock, Monday. That's where these tapes are made usually. There are tapes out there from other occasions, but this is the key source of tapes. 9 o'clock, Shaare Tzion, come join us. Men and women invited. Tonight's tape is dedicated, sorrowfully dedicated, in memory of one of the great leaders of our community, passed away just 2 days ago, a day and a half ago, Yaakov ben Nazira, Mr. Jack Ajmi Alav Shalom, who did so much for the welfare of others, especially this community and around the world. It's just mind-boggling to listen to his accomplishments, especially over the last 10 years. So we wish the family consolation to his wife Rachel and the children and grandchildren, that they should all see a nechama from Shemayim. Pirkei Avot says, Asara nisyonot nasa Abraham Avinu ve'amad dechulam. Abraham Avinu was tested with 10 tests and he withstood them all. Lehodia, to let us know, or let the world know, kama hibbato shel Abraham Avinu, how great was the love of Abraham Avinu. Now, it's good to know the greatness of our forefather Abraham, our patriarch. But beyond that, we wonder, what is this Mishnah about? And it says clearly that it was Abraham's love of Hashem that helped him overcome the trials successfully. And yet, there are many who do what Hashem says because they fear him. Maybe it was Yirah. Very often, an Eved, a subject or a servant of a master or a king, will do the king's bidding out of loyalty. So the fact that he did what Hashem said is no proof on the face of it of his love. And yet the Mishnah says he stood b'chlamad b'chulam out of love. Many times over the years in this class, this ongoing forever series of classes about different subjects, we come across a principle that Hashem never places a greater burden on a person than what the person is able to bear. In other words, you're tested to your limit, but not beyond it. So if someone is a scholar, or a tzaddik, a righteous person, their test is much more difficult than someone who's unlearned or simple. In Kohelet, and I'll give you a translation, Shlomo HaMelech said, as knowledge increases, suffering increases. You see, someone who's not spiritually strong, who doesn't have a lot of spiritual guts, so to speak, a lot of spiritual strength, can't be tested in difficult ways. Because they won't pass, and that's not the point. A person who's reached spiritual heights not only can withstand greater tests, but it's a given of this principle that Hashem will test them with more difficult tests. Now, the greatness of Abraham Avinu Alav Shalom is many faceted. But one of the greatnesses of Abraham
and help them achieve a level that few human beings who ever walked this earth were able to achieve, is that he saw the system. He understood the system. He saw a pattern in his life. He saw the hashkacha of Hashem. Hashem directing and pulling the strings. Nothing was random. And as he drew himself closer to Hashem, his tests became more severe, more difficult. And a person who wasn't as strong as Abraham would have said, stop already. I don't want to grow spiritual anymore because I don't want any more difficult tests than the ones I've already subjected myself to. Let me stop at this level and I won't have to go through any more spiritual agony and mental suffering. But Abraham Avinu saw it differently. He saw it as an opportunity for growth. His ahava, his love of Hashem, was so intense that he wanted to get closer and closer no matter what the cost. And he knew that the closer he got to the fire, the more likely it was he might burn. He became more susceptible, more vulnerable to more difficult tests. This could not be done out of fear, and this could not be done out of loyalty. This had to be driven by that human motivator called love. And for us, as human beings, many thousands of years later, we may, by learning from Abraham Avinu, Alav Shalom, come to be aware that as we grow, the tests are going to become more difficult. If we hesitate, if we hold back from spiritual advance, we not only stop growing, we go backwards. Knowing that you are a human being, called Hamhalechim, the ones who walk, Ben Aumdim Ha'ele, amongst those that stand. You know who the ones that stand are? Stand still, without growing, without progressing? Angels. They're created a certain way, and that's how they are. But a human being with pride should accept the challenges. It should motivate us to reach for the sky, for us to maximize ourselves and our development at any cost. That's what Hashem's tests are all about. The Mesilat Yesharim says, Kol inyene ha'olam hazeh nisyonot hem la'adam. All the matters of this world are tests for the human being. Our good neighbor, Alav HaShalom, Rab Avigdor Miller Zecha Tzadik Levracha, says that there's a pasuk in Mishle, Et pene mevin chokhmah. The face of the one who understands wisdom. Ve'ene kesil, and the eyes of the fool, or the foolish, b'kseh ha'aretz, are to the edge of the earth. It's a difficult pasuk to understand, like, what's the peshat? What's the simple meaning? The Rishonim, our commentators, explain. Et pene ha-mevin chokhma, and the face, with the face of the one who understands his wisdom, what it means is wisdom stands in front of those who understand. Ve'ene kesil, the eyes of the one who is foolish, when the foolish one seeks wisdom, it's Bikseh Ha'aretz. It's very far away at the edge of the earth. Now the Vilna Gaon makes it a little easier to understand. When a fool begins to learn, let's say you take on a learning program, and some people take on a diet, you look at the diet, you have a goal for each week, how many pounds, how many calories, how much exercise, it's a goal. So it's okay to look at the diet book and like add up the pages and see the weeks and see if you can withstand this test. But then they show you you're going to lose like 97 pounds by the end of the diet and you're so excited about it. It's okay to survey it. But the Vilna Gaon says when it comes to learning, you want to learn Torah, you want to grow. He says the kesil, the fool, when he starts to learn, starts to figure out how much time it will take to finish a particular subject or masechet. How many pages are in it? How many pages does he have to do a week? And he starts calculating and figuring. In other words, he's limited in scope. His eyes are, as the Pasuk said, Bikseh Ha'aretz. But the Chacham, the wise one, says, learning is good, I have to learn. This is what we're learning. Let's go. In the time the other one is figuring, this person has already begun to learn and study and completed several pages and acquired wisdom. Our Rishonim learn from this that the truth is in every situation, in every condition, every position a person is placed in is an opportunity to acquire wisdom. But you have to be a Mevin. You have to be in the A group of those who understand. Most of us, however, in this regard of grabbing every opportunity for growth, we're in the kesil, the foolish category. Because we don't see every minute of the day, weekends included, Sundays and Thursdays, nights and days, at home on vacation, work and play, as opportunities, a moment to acquire shelemut, perfection. Because someone who does realize what every moment of life is worth, an opportunity to gain perfection, spiritual perfection, the olam v'ed for eternity, that's the wise person. And the more a person understands this, the more they're going to achieve in their life. Chazal, our sages, were great understanders. They were Mevinim. And they saw in everything that happened around them an opportunity to learn something. There's a story in the Gemara, Gemara Gittin, about Rab Elish. Elish, depending on how you pronounce it, was one time arrested. And he was in a cell one day, or in the prison courtyard, with another prisoner who had a special talent. This other prisoner was able to understand the chirpings of the birds. He could actually understand what they were saying. So a bird came in the vicinity of these two people, the rabbi and the prisoner, and was chirping away. So the rabbi said to the man, "What is this bird saying?" And he said, "It's saying, Elish, you," the rabbi, that was his name, "run away. Elish, escape. He said, if the bird is saying that I should try and escape, there's probably a miracle in the offing. I'm going to take the chance. You see, Rabbi Elish understood, he was a Mevin, that even a chirping bird who happens to be in my vicinity has something to tell me. There's a whole section at the end of Masechet Berachot in the Gemara that discusses dreams and what they mean. If you see this, if you see that, if you see a rainbow, if you see a cat, if you see a chicken, all the different things you could possibly see in a dream, and explains what they mean. Because the rabbis understood everything has a purpose, everything has a message. But there's a fantastic concept that'll change the way you look at your life and everything around you in Masechet Betzah. In the yeshivish world, it's known as Beya because they don't want to say it. Hatzuva mekatea raglahem d'shia. There's a certain type of grass that cuts off the legs of the wicked. In other words, it's a prosecution of the wicked. Rashi says that chatzuva is a certain type of grass that has a unique quality. What's the quality of this grass? The roots of this grass grow straight down. They don't go to the right, they don't go to the left, they don't go forward or back, not a centimeter. They go straight down. And they were planted on the borders of property to indicate property lines. And when Yehoshua ben Nun split up the land, he used this grass as border markers because it grew straight down and didn't infringe right or left on anybody's property. So the Gemara says, this grass, mekatea regle harasha'im, the Yom Adin, it's going to be brought as a prosecution on the Day of Judgment against the wicked. That they steal, that they're gangsters, that they infringe on the property of others, and they don't learn from this grass called chatzuva. That's what the Gemara says. But there's a question on this. What kind of complaint could you have against a human being that they didn't learn from this grass? Is a person required to learn? Did you ever call up, you need a tutor, you go out to the garden, you put your hair on the ground and say, "Hi grass, can you teach me something?" What makes them hayav to learn this principle from the grass? That when they go to Yom HaDin and Shamayim up against heaven in their trial after life, that they're going to point to this grass and say, "See that grass? The roots go straight down and you went over the border and went into your friend's property." Where's the responsibility to learn that? Where's the requirement? That it says the person who doesn't learn that is a rasha. The answer is because a person must learn from everything in the environment. The smart person is learning 24/7. Is learning from everything he or she hears and sees. Thinks, observes, runs into by mistake. There's a certain type of bean or vegetable called turmus. Turmus is very bitter. It has to be boiled at least 7 times before it becomes edible. I don't know the English words for it. But this turmus might be fenugreek or one of these kind of things. I don't know what it is anyhow, even in English. It also says that this is going to be a prosecution, is going to cut off the legs of the enemies of Israel. What does Ashi say? Enemies of Israel is a nice term for the people of Israel, but when we say something negative, we don't like to refer to ourselves. So this is going to be a prosecution on the people of Israel. Says Rashi, it's so bitter, you have to boil it 7 times, and then it becomes sweet, and it becomes edible. Well, the wicked are going to say, it was very difficult for them to make teshuvah. I mean, I got into it, man, it was fun. All the things you tell me not to do are like, that's what life's all about. And I got into it, I was hooked. Addictions to all kinds of pleasures. And then you want me to make teshuvah? I couldn't. Oh yeah, one morning I went to a class, one night I walked out of class, I was very inspired, but I couldn't do it. The ta'ana will be, you see that bean, you see that vegetable? You got to boil it, and that doesn't work, so you boil it again. That doesn't work, so you boil it again. That doesn't work. It's screaming at you. Teshuvah is difficult? Try again. Difficult? It's hard for you to do? Don't give up. You gave up? You didn't make teshuvah? You're finished. You know why? There's that bean. There's that vegetable. Called turmus. If you understood what it was all about, you would have learned. You'd be called a mevin. You'd acquire chokhmah. And you would grow. The person who's smart, se'u marom enechem, they lift their eyes up, ur'umi bara elle, and they see who created everything. Walking on the street, riding a bicycle, sitting at a traffic light, going shopping, are all opportunities for spiritual growth. If your eyes are marom, your eyes are up. But if your eyes are bikseh ha'aretz, down here, involved in what a good friend of mine says is the gaz, tells me that all the time. He says, oh, that's the gaz. That's the distractions. You know him too? It's the distractions, the fun things. The yetzara. It's pixel. He's down here, he's with you. Now, that's the basic idea of tonight's class. I really give it to you so quickly. But that's the basic idea. There were tests. Tests should be performed out of love. Tests are opportunities for spiritual growth. Tests are constant because you must learn from everything around you. And if you're not learning at that moment, then you failed the test. But let's put things a little bit more in focus. Kohelet via the birds, I remember. I think it was the birds. There was a group called the birds, right? L'chozman ve'et hochevitz tachat ha'shamayim. Everything has its time. There's a time to be born, a time to die. You know the words. There's a time for everything. Says Kol Lechol Zeman Ve'et Chochev Estachat Hashemayim. Everything has its place. Et laledet, time to be born. Et lamut, a time to die. There's time for everything. But what does he mean by that? You have the wisest man on earth telling me everybody has, everything has its right time. Like, big deal. His intention is that every moment was created for the benefit of the human being. Every minute, every second is for the benefit of us. If you go to a wedding and you clap your hands and the bride smiles or the groom smiles and you do the mitzvah of Simchat Chatan V'Challah, there's a certain shilimut, there's a certain perfection that's achieved by doing that, that's different than sitting in a synagogue with tears in your eyes on the floor with the lights dimmed on Tisha B'Av, which has its own time. Young people have certain opportunities for shilemut, for perfection, that older people don't have. Older people with their wisdom have opportunities for shilemut that the bright, young superstar of high school will never see. Even the valedictorian. So Shlomo HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, is coming to tell us there's no moment in life, there's no season of the year, there's no second or millisecond that was created for naught. Every moment has its purpose. The person's job, that's me and you. Me first. I have a problem with this. I also get distracted by the gas. So much going on that you don't realize that just like we're sitting here trying to get wiser, trying to understand more, trying to perfect our... Right now we're using a moment very productively for shilemut. Discussing it is enough to make it important. But what about all the other times of the past 24 hours or so? How much time was spent in this type of exercise? A father has an opportunity for shilemut as a parent. A child has an opportunity from the other side of the coin as a child. There's a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. And Kohelet is telling us, he's pushing us, he's encouraging us to grab every moment and squeeze it for all it's worth. Et pene mevin chokhmah. Every moment, if understood, can yield wisdom. The Mesilat Yesharim says, and I quoted it before, Ki kol inyanei ha'olam ben lato ben lemutav. All the matters of this world, whether for good or for bad, hineihem nisyonot la'adam, are tests for the human being. There's nothing, no event, no happening. That's not a test. Every person you see, every person you bump into, it's a test. Will we get closer to Hashem from the encounter, or will we get further away? The word nisayon means an opportunity to achieve perfection. When it says, V'ha'elohim nisat Abraham, as we open with the Pirkei Avot, Hashem tested Abraham, it's similar to the Pasuk in Tehillim, Natata lire'echa nes lehitnoses. You gave those that fear you a banner to reach heights with, or a test to reach heights with. Hashem gives you a test to help you grow. Now let's go one step further. We now understand that every single thing that happens to anyone is a test. But what we don't really realize on the face of it is that the test you get now, today, like as soon as you walk out of here, or even at this moment, what you decide to do with your time, this test is perfectly geared and measured precisely for this moment in time in your life. And your life is different than my life, and his life is different than his life, and her life is different than her life. We're all living individually, and Hashem has programmed this entire creation so that you will get a test perfectly measured. The recipe is for you, custom made. Only Hashem could do such a thing. And there's many pesukim from Hazal, I don't have time tonight to get into. But this sort of, it puts us in a situation where a person may look at things in a way that may not let us behave properly. If everything is done by Hashem, I sort of like can get away with things. If Hashem planned who I'm going to marry, Abel Ancon, those of you who don't, and those of you who have it, you're probably wondering why. So, Hashem planned it. What do I have to do with it? I don't get any reward, but I don't get any punishment either. Hashem planned it. And He is moving around everybody in different ways, to different positions, to different locations, to make things all fit His plan. So why am I responsible? What do I got to do with it? It says, for example, that a person who marries mi shemitchaten misha sheina haguna, it's looked negatively at someone who marries a woman who's not befitting. And it says also, if a person wants to get married, he should check out his future wife's brothers, because the brothers are probably going to be similar to the children he's having in the future. And it says a person should always look for a good family. Yidbak b'tovim. How could all these things take place if there's a gezerah who you're going to marry? Me Hashem ish v'isha. Me Hashem isha le'ish, it says. From Hashem, a woman is chosen for a man. I just gave you all different things somebody's supposed to do and look for. And yet it says that Hashem chooses who somebody marries. Well, Hashem puts you in a situation where you will meet that person. Hashem puts you in a situation, I don't know, every time I mention this word, I get, everybody wakes up, and I get a lot of questions after the class, but I don't have time tonight. I really mean it, I'm going out after. But the word is nasib, for the Sephardics here, and Bashert for the non-Sephardics here. Hashem picked it, that's my nasib. But He doesn't make you marry them. He only guarantees you will meet them. Ooh, see? You didn't know that. You weren't in my class last year. We discussed this in depth. I can't do it now. And I have proofs from the Gemara, from the Zohar. You will meet them. You get them, you don't get them, that's a different story. But the truth of the matter is, we have to think a little bit. Because what I was explaining before, that every little situation is a test for a person. And it comes from Hashem. And like Mesilat Yesharim said, everything is a test. So what is the chidush? What is the novel idea that Chazal are trying to teach us when they say, Mehashem isha l'ish? Hashem picks the woman for the man. It's a chance. It's a test. And it's just like any other test. But the explanation is, the rabbis picked Mehashem isha l'ish to teach us what we're here to learn tonight. You see, a lot of things happen to a person once in a while. You go to work, you have a certain type of job, you're living in that environment, you change jobs, the whole world changes. You live in a certain city, you move to another city, everything changes. You're in a school, you have a certain program, a new term starts, everything changes. New professor, new teacher, new Rebbe, whatever you want. So many things change, and some things happen just once. You're on vacation, you go to a certain museum, you go to a certain site, a certain holy, once. Never go back there again your whole life. But marriage, day in, day out, morning and night, there he is, there she is, oh boy, what's going to be, how are we going to live with each other? That's a test! That's constant. And from that test you learn, so is the rest of your life. It's just one example of what's going on. There's so much shilemut. So much perfection could be acquired in the kitchen. So much more than a happenstance that happens once in a life as you drive to the woods of New Hampshire admiring the trees and the foliage in October. Mehashem isha l'ish. It's a lifelong test. And Hashem customizes that marriage so that that situation develops and changes and grows and moves. It's a moving target so that it's customized specifically for your neshama at that second. Even though you're living with the same person for 65 years. Adalai Nkoh. It's really nice. I do like it. I sometimes make fun, but it's really great. And it's the best opportunity on earth for Shilemut. The Gemara even says, Zacha na'asa lo ezer. Lo zacha kenegdo. If he has zechut, she turns out to be the greatest helpmate. And if he doesn't have zechut, kenegdo is number one enemy. The situation's there. It's fluid. It's not fixed. And for Hashem to take a lifelong relationship, two people living under one roof, 50 and 60. There's a man who passed away in our community last month, still the 30 days. Alav HaShalom, Mr. Sam Cohen. Had his 75th wedding anniversary. And every one of those moments, Hashem was programming for him and his wife to have a perfect test for them at that moment. An opportunity. Okay, nice build up with that. This principle that we just learned from marriage applies to every situation in life. Sometimes a Ben Torah, somebody who's pretty much observant, learned, maybe in learning, marries somebody who maybe the family's not so great. The rabbi said, try the shidduch anyhow. The girl is very good. She's a diamond in the rough. and they get married. And he might think, he might be conned into thinking that if I had a bayit male Torah, if all my brothers-in-laws and sisters-in-laws were of better stock, I'd be better. Is that young man any worse off than Yaakov? He married the right women. But boy, what in-laws. Anybody thinks it's got a rough, just think of Yaakov and his family. Who his brothers-in-law were, the sons of Lavan. And who his father-in-law was, Lavan. Who knocked off his own father, Betuel. Even so, Yaakov Avinu expresses that in the house of Lavan, I grew. When he confronts Esav, he says, Vahili, Shovacham, Orson, Ve'evet Ve'shivchan, and then the Midrash and the Mefarshim come and tells us every one of those things was a spiritual acquisition he was bragging about. When I said, Vahili, Shor, I had Yosef, the spiritual giant who could have been almost a patriarch, the bridge generation between the patriarchs and the tribes. Hamor is Mashiach, Ben David is going to come from me. Tzon is Israel. All the great things in life came from where? My years, my 20 plus years in Lavan's house. When I went from the great, he was 80 something when he got there. But he kept growing. He knew, if this is the situation I'm in, I got to make the best of it. And I have to grow from it. And I have to use these wicked people to grow from. Not to learn bad ways from, but to learn good ways from. He was in Mevin, he knew. When we look back and we think of what he accomplished there, gave birth to the 12 tribes, married the 4 Imahot, accumulated the wealth that he went home with. 20 years wasn't so bad. But if you had to sit with him and watch the deal change and his father-in-law try and con him and his brother-in-law was hating him, he said, wow, what a horrible situation. And all the shayim, how's he going to stay religious? Taryag mitzvot shamati. I kept the 613 mitzvot. That's an accomplishment he was proud of. It boils down to call in Yenei HaOlam HaZeh Nishanot Hema LaAdam is really a matter of bitachon. You got to trust. Hashem's doing it. Hashem's in charge. And the main idea of life is En Mikre Ba'olam. Nothing just happens. I don't mean nothing. I mean nothing just happens. There ain't a single thing or detail that just happens. Rabbi Elish heard a bird chirping. And he said, what can I learn from that? I imagine, and I'd bet nickels to dollars on it, that when Rob Miller was walking up and down Ocean Parkway, looking like he was in a fog, thinking about something foreign to the world, he was very involved in everything around him and using it for spiritual growth. This bird, this tree, this car, this person, what is it doing here? What can I learn from it? How can I grow from it? That's what this moment was created for. Everything that happens to a person is the best thing that can happen to that person at that moment. The name of this tape is I Love My Root Canal. You didn't think I knew the name because I never usually do, but I thought about this one. The name of this tape is I Love My Root Canal. I'll tell you why. A person goes to the dentist. Oh, it hurts over here. Blah, my jaw's a little swollen. Doctor, you got to help me. I was up all night. I took 94 Advils. I drank scotch. I put benzocaine on my lips. I did everything. I'm dying. He taps it once. He goes, ah! The cold stuff. Root canal. He puts that rubber band on your face, that balloon. Starts working in there. He's drilling, he's pulling, he's carving with that thing. He's, boy, it's horrible, right? You're getting the chills thinking about it. And he said, get me out of this chair. Get me out of here. Finally, mission accomplished. After your root canal is done, they put in some kind of post. Now they're doing implants. I don't know what else they do. You get a beautiful new cap. It's even nicer than the tooth that was there before. You pay your $950,000 and you're out. And you have a new tooth. And it doesn't hurt. And you're back to chocolate bars and ice cream. Good? Great. You blew it. You got nothing from that dental appointment. Now, look at what you should be doing with that moment, that valuable moment called root canal. A person sitting in the chair and the dentist numbed their whole mouth, put a balloon over their face, started boring and drilling. And of course, the fun of the best part, the air. Oop! You know he's supposed to be thinking, what a golden opportunity. What did I do wrong to end up in this chair? What did I say? What did I eat? Why did Hashem custom make this moment for me? Why is he drilling away in my mouth? Why am I not sitting? It's a beautiful 75 degree and sunny. I should be sitting on a park bench enjoying the view. Sitting by the ocean listening to the waves. I'm in this chair. What did I do? How could I change so that next time I don't have to come back here? So Hashem doesn't feel this is what I need. And he looks at his yisurim, his suffering, and he grows from it. He considers the kapara he achieved for all the divarim betelim that he said. And he accepts his yisurim ba'ava with love. When he walks out, he's a better man than when he walked in. That dental appointment was used. I love my root canal. Rabbeinu Yonah says, when a person accepts the Musar from Hashem and he perfects and makes his ways good, a person should be happy with the Yisurim, the troubles and the aggravation that brought him to the teshuvah, because they gave him the right path to follow. Yesh lehodot Hashem. He should consider it one of his victories. Yisurim that are accepted with emunah, suffering that's accepted with faith is called success. But people who live without emunah, einei kaseil b'kseh ha'aretz, the eyes of the fool is down here on earth. They're thinking that going to the dentist is in order to fix the tooth. They think that's the purpose of going there. Aval penei mevin, the one who understands, it's wisdom. Somebody comes home from work. The person's tired. The wife may be a little upset or a little angry at something, nervous. At that moment, the person can grow. If somebody embarrasses someone in public, the one who is embarrassed has an opportunity to grow, to overcome the natural reaction to strike back, not to answer. It's a moment. It's a test. It's an opportunity. David HaMelech had the chance. Shimei ben Gera, the famous story, he's walking. Shimei ben Gera comes, he's throwing rocks, he's cursing him. When the officers of David wanted to kill him, he said, stop. The kilalot are coming from Hashem, not from him. It's me. What he's saying is true to me. I got to figure out why he's here. Why is he throwing rocks? Why is he cursing me? Leave him alone. Of course, he was liable to death because you're not allowed to do that to a king. So at the end of his life, David HaMelech told Shlomo, please take care of him. Mete out his judges and his sentence. And make sure he dies for what he did. But at the moment, he realized it was his test, not Shimei. Shimei had his own test. But me, the king, at this moment, that's my custom-made test. A person might be fooled to think, I'm in this fix. I can't, it's just for nothing. But a person has to understand there is no such thing. When Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, he got a prophecy from Hashem. Hashem told him, Al tira miredet Mitzrayim, miredar Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid to go down to Mitzrayim. Anochi ered emach. I'm going to go down with you, Mitzrayim, to Egypt. Vanochi aale gam alo. Alcha gam alo. I'm going to bring you back up from there. I will surely bring you up from there. In Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer it says, Eser yiridot yirad HaKadosh Baruch Hu al ha'aretz. He came down to earth 10 times. And one of them was Matan Torah. And one of them was a Shekhinah going down to earth to go to Mitzrayim with Yaakov. Why did Hashem have to go down to Mitzrayim? Yaakov haya meharher belibo ve'amar. Yaakov had thoughts in his mind and he said, Ech erzov eretz avotai. How am I going to leave the land of my forefathers? Ve'et eretz moladeti. And the land of my birth. Ve'et eretz she'shechina tosh ha'kadosh b'docha. And the land where the Shekhinah rests. Ve'elech el eretz b'necham. I'm going to go to the land of those people, the Egyptians, the lowlifes. That has no fear of God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I'm going down with you. What was Yaakov Aminu's fear? He was afraid he was leaving a place that was better for Shilemut. To go to a place that lacked the ability to give him Shilemut. And that's what he was alive for. That's what he lived for. It was for that he existed. So Hashem says, Al tira, don't fear. Even there in Mitzrayim, the land of Tumah, Las Vegas and Hollywood rolled into one. You have a chance to become close to the Shekhinah. What was he afraid of? He was growing in Canaan. And he thought, maybe shinui makom, changing my place, would change my kivun, change my direction. Mesilat Yisroel says, al chashash shel hefsed shel limud ein sakana kesakanato. Thinking you're going to lose shelemut, there's no danger greater than that. What is he saying? We have to follow Hashem's plan. There's a lot of excuses. There's a lot of things to distract us. And there's a lot of things that can bother us and prosecute us. A person has to constantly be concerned about your spiritual level. And if you are, you will never be called kesil, a fool. To be afraid of not growing is a healthy fear. Said in the Gemara Berachot, Lo'olam yadur adam imkom rabo. A person should always live close to his rabbi. Why? Because you're afraid of him. And you'll do what's right. If somebody fears their rabbi, respects their rabbi, they won't be conned by the Yetzara. Tonight's lesson was very simple. Every moment is an opportunity. But you have to have your eyes open to see it. You have to become greedy with your time. It's mine. I'm not giving it to anybody. I want it. Because it's my chance to reach my perfection. And although we get bounced around like little ping pong balls in a bowl, being spun for a lottery drawing, those ping pong balls seem to have no direction, but that's the way the world feels, but it's not true. Everyone is directed, and Hashem is directing those ping pong balls with the numbers on them to the hole to come out and declare the $100 million winner. Not by chance, by design. So too is your life. Every incident, every occurrence, every sight, every sound was put there to give you a golden moment of opportunity to grow. It's up to you to decide, will I be wise enough to see it or foolish enough to miss it? Me, personally, I love my root canal. As long as my eyes are open and I'm thinking, what am I doing here? How can I grow from this? I wish you all success in this new attitude.